see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I didn't fall in love. I never kissed Sean, but I did get diamond earrings. So
time out.
Never even kissed?
No.
Oh my God.
Never kissed him.
The producers pushed me into kissing him. They never said anything to you?
No.
They told me they're like, every single girl here has kissed Sean except for you. He's like,
really?
Yeah. They're like, you don't want to fall behind. And I was just like, oh crap. And that's when I did that stupid chocolate scene where I was like, do you like this chocolate or this chocolate?
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Hey everyone, it's me, Claire, and Emma. We are coming back to Here to Make Friends in a very different state than we left it after the last season that I covered. We're coming back in the midst of a global pandemic, a series of nationwide, actually global protests against racism and police brutality specifically. And this is something that, you know, feels very different from the usual content of our show, but it's something that we want to bring in because we always want Here to Make Friends to feel relevant, like it's adding something to the world and not taking up space or creating a distraction from really important things that we all need to be focusing on. So the context of how the world has changed around us is definitely going to change how we're going to approach this season.
Yeah, you know, we thought and talked a lot about this, and we first just want to be really clear up front. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. We are in complete support of these protests that we've seen. We're in complete support of the reckoning that many industries, including our own and including, you know, ABC and the Bachelor franchise are in the midst of kind of kicking off. And we also want to acknowledge that we are two white women, and that is how we move through the world. And we want to use this platform that we have created to be a space for allyship and also for lifting up voices specifically of, you know, Black people who have been involved in the Bachelor franchise. And that is really going to inform the way that we move forward with our show.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time for Bachelor Nation, you know, handling really difficult, thorny questions of social justice is not something that is a requirement for going on The Bachelor.
It has not traditionally been the franchise's strong suit, we'll say that.
Not at all. But a lot of these people now have huge platforms. Some of them have been very vocal about what's going on. You know, Rachel, obviously, Ashley Spivey, Dustin, you know, Becca Martinez.
Nick Vile, Katie Morton.
Yeah. So there are people who are really trying to leverage their platforms right now. Other people have been approaching it in a more problematic way. I think a lot of our listeners probably saw Garrett's post of the Thin Blue Line in support of cops, which has caused a lot of turmoil I think especially considering that his fiance Becca co-hosts a podcast with Rachel, who is very outspoken about Black Lives Matter. So it's interesting to see how this really white show for influencers has kind of absorbed this moment or has not absorbed it. And we're definitely part of that. Like, we know that it's our responsibility, and it's something we really want to try to bring into the dialogue we have here. And, you know, last week we did post an episode, a preview episode for The Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever, which ended up coming out on Tuesday. It was pre-scheduled, pre-taped well in advance. And it ended up being not good timing. And that's something we heard from some listeners, and we definitely want to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And we just also want to say that, you know, especially to our Black and Brown listeners, we are really grateful when you call us out. And, you know, I more like to put it, call us in, because it's always done in a way that honestly gives us a lot of space to learn and grow, which is not something you have to do. And so we are just grateful for that continuing education and for the chance to do better when we misstep. And I think that, you know, something I've been thinking about a lot as a white woman in the last few weeks, and certainly in the years before, is that it's better to move forward and try to be a voice for change and accept the discomfort of owning your missteps when they come up than to stay silent out of a fear of, you know, not doing anti-racism correctly. So yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone that has reached out.
Yeah, I think with this past episode specifically, I wanted to mention a couple things that Emma and I have spoken about since. You know, we interviewed Rob Mills about this current recap show that they're airing. The tone of it was very lighthearted. And we did post it on a day when a lot of people were taking a beat from posting new things, and were instead trying to redirect focus to amplifying Black voices. And that was not intentional. And I think we both feel regretful about the fact that we went ahead with posting that. And I think that also I did hear a little feedback about maybe having not spoken as bluntly as I could have with Rob about Rachel and her role on The Bachelor and about race and Blackness, and that, you know, sometimes the words that I use are not explicit enough and dance around the issue. And that was something I did take to heart, because I think I often worry too much that I will say the wrong thing, instead of accepting the risk that I will be criticized and like trying to say the thing that will be the most helpful and most direct. And that's something I want us to work on this season. And I think we should all be trying to work on is worrying less about our own egos and more about how we're actually pushing things forward.
Absolutely. Plus one to all of that. And I think that, you know, that is a responsibility that we are publicly committing to taking on. And we'll be grateful to continue to receive your feedback as we kind of stumble through this.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we do want to be a resource. Also, we know a lot of people are also going through these internal self-examinations right now, along with us. We want to encourage our white listeners not to, you know, put a lot of or any pressure on people in your life who are Black, who are dealing with this onslaught of news and conversation about police brutality, to educate you. And I think we need to try to educate each other as much as possible. So we do want to be a resource for that. We're going to try to answer all our DMs and be available although we also do want to be clear that it is mostly Emma who runs the Instagram, and she has a lot of other work to do. It's not her full-time job. So please, if there's a little delay, be mindful. It's usually not deliberate.
Absolutely. You know, our DMs are open, and, you know, I want to offer my personal DMs as well. Please feel free to reach out, and we will make every effort to answer all of them in as timely a fashion as is possible, while still giving ourselves and our very small team a chance to breathe occasionally and do our other job responsibilities. Something else that we are going to be committed to doing every episode of this season is giving our listeners calls to action. It's been something that has been really helpful for us to have people in our lives who have pointed us towards resources, towards ways that we can affect change with our time, with our voices, and with our dollars. So we're going to give you one or two calls to action every week. And definitely, if you have suggestions of places to donate or petitions to sign or anything in that vein, please feel free to email us or DM us. And we will, again, try our best to kind of go through that and make sure we have a good assortment of orgs to shout out to, because a lot of people are already doing this very difficult and essential work of anti-racism and anti-police brutality, and we want to support them. And look, we're a community here. We aren't in conversation with each other, most of us in real life, but we have power. We know from everyone that we have heard of ever in our audience, pretty much everyone has just shown themselves to be so smart, so engaged, and really, really wanting to make the world and the Bachelor franchise a better place. So we are excited to activate ourselves and hopefully, you know, organize with all of you.
So this week, as these protests are raging around the country, we wanted to direct our listeners, if you haven't seen it already, to the National Bail Fund. And the link will be in our show notes. Just a great way to support protesters and victims of police violence. We also wanted to direct you to the BachelorDiversityChange.org petition. And this is a little bit more linked to our usual content, which we will be getting back to in a moment. But there is a campaign to add more diversity to The Bachelor on and off camera to really, instead of, you know, tokenizing and offering occasional, you know, placating casting, to really change fundamentally how The Bachelor includes Black people, people of color. And the link to that will be in our show notes as well.
Yeah, we encourage you to tweet and get involved in that and use your voice as someone who watches this show to change it. Before we get to the interview, which is really the meat of this episode, we did want to just sort of give our thoughts on the overall format of this new show, the things that we loved seeing played back, and a few notable things that they really left out. First of all, Claire, I mean, we get to see Chris Harrison in his poorly decorated home office, just a single bouquet of roses plopped down, his son Joshua working the camera. What did we think of the format here and the aesthetics?
I mean, I think my favorite part was actually how clearly cobbled together the set was. Like, I love seeing a glimpse of Chris Harrison's personal study. It really had the feel of like a study. He was like, here's my mahogany desk. This is where I wear my smoking jacket. That's how I like to envision Chris Harrison. And of course, here is my 18-year-old son, whose summer job, as he repeatedly told us, was being the only crew person on the show because, of course, of quarantine. I like that. Like, more of that, please. There was a good amount of Chris, actually. Unfortunately,
Unfortunately, not a lot of other new content besides these shots of Chris and a couple Zoom interviews he does with a few of the top contestants. And that's really the problem. Like, it was a little boring because I've already seen Sean's season.
I agree 100%. And something else that worked a little less well was the fact that the show just felt super divorced from the current moment, which, given that we are all stuck at home and all sort of experiencing these protests, however we feel about them collectively, you know, it felt really weird for the show to not acknowledge Black Lives Matter movement at all and to not even say the word coronavirus. Like, I understand they may have locked this episode before the protest began, but I mean, they hardly even address the fact that we've been in a month-long lockdown.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked to Rob Mills last week, and he said that it was a very deliberate decision to provide escapism and to not make the show about coronavirus. So Chris makes a couple references, like, here we all are at home, of course. And I do get that the decision was made, but much like when we taped the episode, you know, I feel like I was sort of leaning into that. I was like, this is escapism. We're going to talk a little bit about some thornier issues that have been coming up in the franchise. But I was uncomfortable with that. Like, it felt more comfortable to talk about the show as it's always been, for better or worse in a lot of ways. And as the situation has continued to unfold and these protests have emerged and we're having conversations that are much more substantive than we were a couple weeks ago, it feels off, honestly, to provide escapism. It feels off to not be part of that. And
it feels like not even just off, but I'd say irresponsible to an extent.
And I don't even know what I would want the show to do, but I do know that the format pretty much erased all of the people of color, except for Catherine, from the special. And it was much more diverse than previous seasons, but it's still kind of shown a spotlight on how rare it is for a Black woman to make it into that top handful of contestants.
Yeah.
And no one else really even got any screen time.
Yes, that was really notable. And, you know, we, for context, this was the first season after a racial discrimination lawsuit was levied against The Bachelor. So they made a pretty clear and intentional effort for the first time, apparently, to really cast in a more diverse way. And yet, again, that was totally erased from what we saw last night, and that was unfortunate. Some things that I liked a little more were really getting to lean into the many abominations of early 2010s fashion, just a beautiful over-reliance on sweetheart gowns, just covered in sequins and various other sparkles, the dreaded poof, which Catherine was just rocking it seemingly the entire season. I mean, I admit I have done that too. And it's, you know, it fills me with shame, but also some like good nostalgia, just evidence how quickly things become dated.
I'm surprised that you think sparkly gowns are dated, because I've never stopped wearing them. I never will. I'm wearing one right now. You guys can't see, just trust me. But one thing that I liked remembering was revisiting a season that was really good. And like, I feel like more of the seasons recently that have been fun have been good because they're so bad, if that makes sense. Like, Colton's season was a mess. It ended up being an interesting mess, and there is an appeal to that. But to watch a season where the lead is, you know, flawed in ways that are sort of compelling, Sean makes a lot of sexist comments in his benevolent sexist way. But
didn't love that then, don't love that now. And yet
he has a great presence. Yeah, and it seems like a genuinely really nice guy who means well, despite those issues, and like really conveys that really well. Like, he conveys that he's caring about the women. It comes through. Like, there are things that feel genuine about their connections that don't just feel like bachelor cliches. And you get that from the women too. There's a realness to a lot of these interactions that, like, I'm realizing how much the past couple of seasons have just been like Instagram model, I want to find love and I feel like we're really connecting. Tell me something about what makes you, you. Oh, a bad thing happened to me once. Oh, make out. You know, like we're losing
that. Sean speaks to these women as though they are people and they speak back to him as though they are people, and often we don't really get that, even though that sounds super basic. And it definitely drove home why, despite the fact that he is not necessarily the type of bachelor that I would think I would find myself drawn to, and again, like, was obviously put off by that benevolent sexist vibe happening, you know, he has to turn in his man card because he can't start a car, you know, he has to protect the women, stuff like that, like, definitely, you know, not my cup of tea, as I'm sure all listeners know. We are not fans of sexism in any form, and benevolence does not excuse it. It's new for us. And yet, Sean and Catherine are just this really fantastic, entertaining rom-com duo who fulfill enough tropes to make the arc narratively satisfying, but not so many as to make it seem scripted or rote.
Yeah, Catherine is just like a classic every girl. You know, like, she's extremely beautiful, but doesn't know it. She has some flaw that she's been teased for, and so she feels insecure. She doesn't think she can get a hunk like Sean, but of course Sean thinks she's incredible and gorgeous and funny, and that's just kind of the dream as a girl who doesn't think you're that beautiful, and so that's why a lot of rom-coms unfold that way. And it was nice to sort of revisit that and to remember, of course, that my husband, who I had been dating a brief time at that point, definitely called that Sean was going to pick Catherine, and I didn't think that she would. I think I identified with her so much that I was like, he won't pick her.
He never would.
That's the girl who never gets picked. And my husband saw something that I didn't see in me and also in Sean and Catherine.
And that's the moment you knew Greg was a keeper.
Tell that story in my wedding vows. But, you know, Lindsay is also great. And I loved remembering that Lindsay
is a goofball.
Such a goofball. Like, she shows up in a wedding dress, drunk, like wasted, kisses Sean before they even speak, which we do not encourage or condone. But she has one of those entrances that you watch and you're like, she's not going far. Like, who? Why would you do that? You're never going to make it far if you're the girl who comes in a wedding dress. And then she pulls it off. But she pulls it off.
Yeah, she's a delightful weirdo, and I don't think I appreciated that enough. So that was kind of fun to rewatch. And we got a little check-in with her, and you could see that she still has that sort of goofy, silly energy, and she seems really happy. And that was lovely.
Yeah, like, men on The Bachelor love to be like, I just love a goofy woman who, like, has a great sense of humor, and, like, cut to them with their winner, like, dead-eyed, being like, I love this. And Sean actually goes for women who will say really cheesy pickup lines to him and then, like, laugh their ass off, which both Catherine and Lindsay bring that energy, and it's really infectious.
Yeah, and it just makes you realize that you don't really see that energy too often on the show, and so that was nice and refreshing to remember. We also, of course, have to talk about Tierra, who is one of, I'd say, the most iconic villains of all time in the Bachelor franchise. I mean, she is not a villain that you really see anymore, because people are a little bit better at kind of playing the game, either intentionally leaning into a character or just being savvier at navigating situations where they, you know, aren't fans of some of the other women, even if they don't come off well. Like, she's a gem. I mean, she sparkles, as apparently her parents told her. She has a bunch of iconic lines. Claire, do you want to kind of run us through some of them?
Girls are jealous. Men love me. I can be humble and confident at the same time.
Wow.
Or I think a fave, I can't control my eyebrow. I can't control that. Who can control
her eyebrow? She can't control her eyebrow, and you can't take away her sparkle.
You simply cannot. Her parents will never allow that. I mean, Tierra is, you know, you often hear from women that the villain was cold to them in the house. With Tierra, you really see that in a way that you often don't, like, her, just, like, cutting women dead. or stalking off to sit in a corner
when they say hello. Like that is that is an aggressive move. It's passive,
yeah,
but it's quite aggressive.
So, and she's been really absent from the Bachelor franchise ever since her incredible stint, which included her either, to be honest, this is one of the tough things about villains, is often they are either genuinely troubled or are genuinely suffering. Like she actually gets either injured or pretends to be injured twice or some mixture. And what's tough is that, like, if she's being manipulative, you want to call it out. At one point she falls down the stairs when Sean is in the house. And then when it seems like she's going to be taken away in an ambulance for treatment, she's suddenly better and she just needs to spend time with Sean. On another, a group date, they all plunge into icy cold water and she's the only one who has a bad reaction and needs medical treatment. If she's really suffering, then you want to be like, oh my God, poor Tiara. That's and you horrible. See Sean grappling with that too. But after this season, she kind of drops off the map. She's never engaged in Bachelor Nation. She didn't respond to Chris Harrison's requests for catch up. Yeah. So we didn't hear from her really at all.
I know, and I would have liked to get an update from her because you always get the sense that, you know, people, once they're especially 5+ years off the show, have some healthy perspective about it, are able to kind of own the ways things didn't go well for them or own their kind of more childish behaviors. So I would have loved to see where she is now. And I believe she's on Instagram, but it's private. So I don't know. Yeah. That was unfortunate. That was like the only thing I came to this recap for, and we didn't get it.
There were a couple good tidbits, though. Like, we did get to speak to Desiree about her brother. Sabotaged her hometown date by sort of getting aggro with Sean and being like, I think you're a playboy, and, you know, I don't think you even like my sister. And Desiree tells Chris, just fully flings her brother under the bus and is like, I barely knew the guy. Like, I don't know my brother. Like, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know anything about me. Which is incredible. I need to know more about what's going on there.
Oh yeah. Like, had so many questions about those family dynamics. Another good tidbit was that Ashley Frazier said that Tiara refused to share a room with any of the women. So she had to sleep on a cot because she like wouldn't be in a bed in a room with another woman. Which is it's like the classic, like, I am such a victim that I must like torture myself.
I honestly, one of the most relatable things about Tiara to me is her clear interest in being a martyr. I've always aspired to be a martyr. And so I get it. I get the impulse. Doesn't play well, I have to say, but with other people.
We hope all of these women are, even the ones we didn't hear from, are doing well today and haven't been too re-traumatized by seeing this play again.
Absolutely. We do. I mean, I loved the check-ins we did get. We see a few people's families and
Sarah Herron and her sweet boyfriend. Yes.
Yeah. And we see Lindsay and her husband and kids. We see Sean and Catherine, of course, and their three little ones.
Ashley Frazier and her Nancy Meyers kitchen, which.
I mean, she looks perfect in it. Yeah. And we revisited the proposal and the breakup with Lindsay. Lindsay Silver, Catherine Gold.
I had not recalled the intensity of the symbolism in their proposal gowns, but it was there. And they both looked fantastic, even if Lindsay was literally dressed as a second place statuette.
Pretty crazy decision. I just got to think, as Lindsay, you don't know in the moment that the other person's dress is gold, but watching it back, you've got to be like, really, guys? So Sean tells Lindsay that he loves her when he dumps her, which I feel like we both kind of forgot.
Yeah, I'd totally forgotten that. And I think you pointed out that it probably wasn't as big a deal because it did occur after he had like broken the news to her that she was getting dumped. So it wasn't the same level.
He wasn't leading her on.
No, he was not leading her on. Twisting the knife. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. It was a knife twist, not a backstab.
Yeah. Some things were left out that I sort of expected to be in there. So I want to touch on the fact that Sean, the born again virgin icon of The Bachelor, not mentioned at all.
I have to believe that I noticed. I have to believe that he reached out to production, who he is like pretty close with, and was like, guys, I'm game to check in, to sort of be exposed to my season again, but like, please, can you drop this really frustrating narrative that I remember Sean really hating at the time? Like, they made it the same way with, you know, as they did with Colton, they sort of made the virginity like a major theme of the season, but it did feel odd to just have that cut out completely.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that now that he has three kids, his life as a born-again virgin probably seems a little passé. We also, I mean, as we mentioned, lost most of the women of color. We even lost a pretty memorable conversation between Robin and Sean, where she asks him basically if he's interested in dating women who aren't white. And he talks about how he's dated women of all backgrounds, and his last girlfriend before going on the show was Black. And that was kind of like made a much of at the time.
It was kind of a big deal because the show was really, even more than they do now, was really trying to exist in this, you know, fantasy apolitical world where no one has a religious background or a race or you know, political beliefs, and it doesn't matter. None of those things matter in partnership. You just need to open up and want love. So this was sort of where we start to see them acknowledge the cracks in that bit, where we start to see them acknowledge the cracks in that, even if just a very, very little, as we
Although
know the
we
show.
We do see with Alex, we do see with Alex Michelle too, that like the conversation that they are comfortable having is the Black contestant asking the white contestant, would you date me? Like, are you okay with that? So that the white lead can be like,
yes. Of course. I know. He was like, Alex Michelle was full. I don't see color. Sean was a few steps away from that.
Yeah. And I do think maybe one of the things that made him a good lead to have for that post lawsuit season was that he wouldn't be having his first interracial relationship on camera. And Rachel has pointed this out recently, that the show can't cast people who have only dated white people and expect for people of color to go far. That shouldn't be happening for the first time on camera. And Sean was a rare example where we know that's the case. But that didn't show up. I think we do see briefly of Robin, her unfortunately memorable limo exit where she tries to she was a cheerleader at the time. And she tries to do a double backflip, I think, and slips. And that's gotta burn.
Yeah,
to have
it was really
that
unfortunate.
Be immortalized.
That was the only thing we really got to see. We hardly got to see Leslie at all. Selma, another woman of color who makes it very far, she basically was disappeared from the narrative at all. I guess she was in little clips, but I guess she brought less of the drama. We also didn't really get the full extent of the many torturous dates that Sean takes these poor women on. Like, he has them chugging goat milk at one time, which is like, it sounds like some, you know, one of those like horrific things that we would force kids to do at camp until they threw up. Like, that's what that seems.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, for some people, probably raw goat milk is great, and I support that.
But to chug? Like, I don't want
to
chug any
chug
form
a
of
fresh,
milk.
Warm glass of raw goat milk as quickly as possible, getting a lot of the white, you know, viscous liquid all over your front. It's not the sexiest, or at least not,
the
kind of sexiness that I would want in front of my husband. I remember that Sean's season had a number of those dates where I was like, he's trying to humiliate, or not he, the show is putting them in a position to be humiliated or made very uncomfortable, and not one of my favorite things about The Bachelor. But we didn't get to rewatch most of those dates.
Yeah, no goat milk, no roller derby, in which most of the women didn't really know how to roller skate, so they just ended up with bruises all over their body.
Yeah,
neither
I mean, they actually had to
up.
Cancel the roller derby because there was an injury during practice. Like, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. But another thing, I mean, we mentioned briefly, but before we wrap up, we're not doing a slate of feminism fails this time. But we do want to mention again that there are a lot of feminism fails, like a high density.
There were.
Despite like kind of liking most of the people involved, I gotta say, like so many comments about man cards, so many comments. I think that
like the claws are coming out. The claws are coming fighting. Out.
I think during her intro, Lindsay tells Sean that she has balls, and he says, "I hope not," and that
is transphobic.
Yeah. So you know, and again, this was 7 years ago, and I would love to think that it would be different if these same people were to go on the show now. And I don't want to like, you know, go too hard on that, but rewatching it, I was kind of startled by the sheer number, the volume and the relentlessness
yes.
of the references to gender roles and the like. So I feel like the season was quite a trip in that sense.
Absolutely.
And I think that kind of covers what we wanted to discuss because, you know, the show did a recap and
we don't need to recap their recap completely.
Yeah. Thanks for doing it. But we did want to hit the high notes and we want to dig in a little more when we get to our interview.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, our interview with Leslie Hughes and Robin Judkins from season 17 of The Bachelor.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
As we mentioned before the break, a lot got left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, one of the results of trimming the season down to spotlights on the final few contestants is that the only woman of color who got any screen time was Catherine, who won, and none of the Black contestants on Chun's season really got any screen time.
But two Black women actually had pretty notable arcs on the show. Leslie Hughes, who made it to week 4, and Robin Howard, who made it to week 5. Leslie had a real glam one-on-one, the, you know, annual pretty woman shopping spree date, and Robin, when she wasn't getting mixed up in Tiara drama, as were all of them, she had a pretty frank conversation with Sean about race.
Yeah, so to look back at a different side to the season, some more more of it than we were able to get into on the 3-hour show last night, we talked to Leslie and Robin about their time on the show.
I'm Robin Jetkins, formerly known as Howard. I was in season 17 of The Bachelor.
I'm Leslie Hughes. I was on season 17 of The Bachelor, Sean Lowe's season, and I am currently still in entertainment industry, quarantined in Los Angeles.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So last night, Bachelor Nation revisited Sean Lowe's season. It was crazy to think how much time had passed in a way. A lot of good memories brought back up. Did you guys watch the recap?
I did. I did. I was kind of disappointed, but I watched it.
And we want to hear those thoughts. What about you, Leslie? Did you watch?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I kind of skimmed through it this morning because I don't know. I've already been through it. And they said, but what Robin said too, I'm a little bit disappointed just from what I saw. So
yeah, tell us, like, what disappointed you about watching what they chose to highlight?
I feel like they didn't choose any, like, there was supposed to be new editing. And I feel like they didn't show any new footage at all. And they kind of just showed all the main highlights of what they showed the first time it aired. Like, it's all the same people again. So yeah, that's just kind of how I felt.
I was excited because when they called and said, oh, we're airing your season again, and we hope you watch, da, 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 I was thinking, oh, this is going to be so fun to relive like our actual season and see us in the house. Never before seen footage of us being silly in the house or bloopers, things like that. But like Leslie said, it was literally the exact same thing we watched when they aired it the first time. I mean, it was kind of cool to watch Sean and Catherine fall in love all over again because I forgot how giddy she was. And I texted her last night and I was like, you're so lucky that you guys kind of have your story like filmed. Like, I wish I could remember how I was with Gary when I first met him years ago. But yeah. Other than that, I was like, okay, this is Snoozeville.
Yeah, I think Emma and I were surprised too by how similar it was to just a highlight reel, not as much additional content right. As we were hoping for.
It felt like it was almost geared toward an audience that maybe only started watching the show very recently and isn't really looking for more. But I think we were hoping for new footage or at least like some more color commentary, hearing from more people that we haven't heard from. I mean, it was nice to check in with Dez and Catherine and Sarah, but they're all people that we have heard from since. So,
did y'all notice that Sarah, Dez, Lindsay, Catherine all showed their families and they got to Ashley? They only asked her about Tiara and completely ignored her family.
I did notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It seems almost like because they couldn't get Tiara, they only brought in Ashley like as a surrogate to discuss that conflict.
Yeah.
Instead of actually wanting to update us on Ashley. But of course, the people they brought on are the people whose lives Bachelor Nation probably knows the most about already. So it didn't really bring that much new to the table.
Yeah.
But let's go back to 2013. A little bit. I still think of 2013 as the present. It's very crazy to think that that's actually like 7 years ago.
I know. I'm like, oh, we're coming up on a decade. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I was much younger when I watched this. Right.
So what made both of you sign up for the show? And was like the show's like really terrible history with being super white something that you considered in that decision? Leslie, maybe start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the show since the beginning, so I was always one that like watched with my family and stuff. So going on, it was kind of just my mom and my best friend at the time just trying to help me find love because I was living in LA and it was just, LA is the worst place to try and find love. So I went down to San Diego and went to an open call because I didn't even really look up the instructions or nothing. And just my process was really easy and quick, a little too quick, because I only knew like 2 weeks prior. So it was kind of a lot. But I was there to find love. But when I did get that phone call of like, oh, I'm going on The Bachelor, the first person I called was my father because there was no people like me of color on there. So I was just like, yes. He's like, yeah, you're going to be one on there. And then I get there and then there's like five of us or seven of us. So, yeah, but that was one of the biggest moments for sure, was calling him and he was super excited because of, they had that lawsuit prior to our season two of not having people of color on.
We were going to ask you guys if you were aware of that racial discrimination lawsuit. I believe that was the right before your season. That was that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why then I feel like our season had a lot more color than normal because of the lawsuit. That's just my that's how I saw it.
That's how we saw it too.
Robin, what about you?
So mine was kind of opposite. I had a friend sign me up. I was a Rockets cheerleader and I was sitting in practice and they called and they're like, hey, this is The Bachelor. And I'm like, yeah, sure it is. And I hung up. And then they called my friend and she called me, was like, no, that was really The Bachelor. I was like, oh crap. So they called me back. They're like, can you send a video? Sent a video. Called back again. They're like, hey, can you come try? Can you kind of come in audition in Austin? And I was like, no, I'm not driving to Austin, even though it's 2 hours. I was like, I'm not driving to Austin. They're like, okay, your journey ends here. I was like, okay, bye. I was like, I don't care because honestly, my thought process was I would go for a day. They'd kick me off because I always have one token black girl. And they called me maybe like 2 months later and they're like, we want you for the show. And I was just like, okay. And I think a lot of it, it's, I'm two-folded, right? Because I truly believe Sean doesn't care. I think they chose the best bachelor to date all types of women. Cause I don't think he had like I like blonde blue eyes or I like black or I like Asian. I like whatever it was. But I think at the same time, yes, there was a lot more African Americans, blacks, however you want to say it, for our season because of their lawsuit.
Is it something that ever came up explicitly with casting while you guys were in that process?
Not for casting, but they definitely, the producers, and now that I look back at it, I didn't realize what they were doing, but the producers definitely pushed me to ask Sean, like, you know, I'm black. Have you ever dated someone that's black? And there's a scene that they made sure they aired of me asking Sean, you know, have you ever dated a black woman?
Yeah, I actually found it quite notable first that I remember noting that scene at the time that it aired. And then also being a little surprised that they did not air that scene last night in the recap. And I rewatched it before this. And, you know, you say, you can tell that you're sort of like, nervous to have
I'm
the conversation.
So nervous. I said yeah like 50 times. I'm like yeah.
I want to hear about how that conversation kind of came to be and what your conversations were with producers, because you know, you say like, I was watching how it became more diverse with ethnicity. I was nervous. I was like, what does Sean find attractive? What's your mindset? It when it was clear that it was sort of like a layup for him, and he was like, great question, best question I've ever been asked. I'm like
AKA, I knew this question was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, it's seriously such a long time ago. I remember I was not myself at all in the season. I mean, I was a nervous wreck every single time. I was freaking weird. I just, with all the cameras in your face 24/7, I think some people do really well and some of us just crash and burn. And I was a crash and burner. literally, I crashed on my face. So I remember talking to Sean and asking him that because, like I said, the producers asked me to bring that up, but I don't genuinely remember listening to his answer. It was just kind of like I remember him saying, oh yeah, I've dated a black girl before. And I knew he had dated a black cheerleader. And I think that's part of the reason they picked me. I was a cheerleader. I was black. I fit the mold. But as far as, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I 100% think it was a layup for Sean to, and I say that, but at the same time, like, I truly believe Sean is a good guy. I don't think it was to make Sean look, you know, even better than he already looked or anything like that. I don't want to say this in a way where it makes Sean look bad, but I do think it was to make him not hate using this, but look racist, because the whole company looked like a racist as a whole because they didn't have enough Black people, and it is what it is.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing that, like, the conversation has not moved very far within the franchise since then. Like, that's kind of the same dialogue that we are circling. And I think it's, of course, far less a question of, you know, Sean, and more a question of, like, what is the messaging that this franchise is kind of giving to all of the millions of people that watch? And so it feels notable to me that that was something that they were clearly aware of enough to want it said, which is not a bad thing. But then it makes you wonder, like, well, if you were aware then.
I used to argue this case all the time because people would say, well, Robin, there's no Black bachelors or bachelorette. I'm like, yeah, but they always choose the top three. So I get it. The top three, one of the top three becomes the next bachelor or bachelorette. It's just a pattern. It's not their fault. But now they're not choosing top three anymore. They're choosing randoms. And so that's where I'm like, I don't understand why you guys are skipping over this, especially when it's a big deal. Like, just in a way, just do it. Stop fighting it.
Right.
Yeah.
And even in that regard, you know, that formula of picking the top three, they invented that. So they're really totally in control of their own show, and have managed to kind of play helplessness as to the decisions that they themselves are making. And it's just getting harder and harder to tap dance around. I found that interesting because I feel like it was definitely crafted to send a clear message. But in the time since then, you know, casting a lead who's interested in actually dating all kinds of different people is a very important part of making a dating show diverse. Do you guys feel like that's something that they've taken to heart in the years since?
I don't think so, no. Like she said about Sean, I feel like he really didn't, like she said, care what we were. And he said that a lot of times. Like, it was all about insight and what you had and the values and morals. Like, that was what he wanted. And I feel like the people they keep choosing too, like, that, it's not the same as what it used to be.
Thank you. I was about to say, the show's not the same, period. It's trash.
Yeah. I feel like a huge part of that has to do with social media, and people are just going on to build their brand. And so I feel like it's not as real as what it used to be.
Hey, you guys are kind of part of the last cohort before Instagram blew up. Like, I remember your season. It was one of the first seasons where the lead was even on Twitter. And I remember really liking that about Sean, because he would make fun of himself and be sort of like irreverent about kind of all the silly tropes that we were seeing. But before that, it was like nothing. And since then, as you said, Instagram is both the pipeline that a lot of contestants come through to be cast on the show. And then there is a very clear career path that I think is pretty inextricably linked to whiteness that comes after. I mean, you look at the numbers. Contestants of color, specifically Black contestants, do not end up with the same number of followers as even the people that are white but made it to the same week as them. What do you think, like, where do you think the franchise goes from here? Like, I want to circle back and get into some of the fun stuff from your season, but since we're sort of having this discussion, I'd be interested to hear what you guys think.
I think they need to start over, like, start from scratch. And get rid of the top three, get rid of even pulling people from previous seasons. Like, do what the show was made for, if that's what you're really trying to do. Like, are you trying to help people fall in love, or are you just trying to create another reality show? Like, I think they honestly need to focus on that. And with everything that's going on, focus on a whole mix of people. Like, there's not a lot of Asians either. There's not a lot of, like, there's not diversity at all.
Right.
And I mean, they have the power to make difference. There's so many viewers, and like, I hope they do it, but I know that I feel like they won't. I feel like this is another thing they're just gonna brush off. They might put a token, like, going on, because even like the spinoffs, Bachelor in Paradise, there's not a lot of diversity on that either. It's all the top people.
I actually don't completely agree. I personally really like that they take the top three, because I think you fall in love with certain characters on the show and you like to see them have a chance at falling in love. But, you know, perfect example, Rachel Lindsay. She had one of her top threes were Eric Bigger. It's perfect. I was like, this is the perfect, another layup for you guys. Pick him to be the next Bachelor. So I don't understand why that didn't happen. And instead, what they did was completely ignore the top three and they went a whole nother direction.
Yeah, it's been really telling, actually, that as the top group from each like cohort has gotten more diverse, not like consistently or that much more diverse, but as those like contestants start to filter up, they've increasingly really gone back to previous seasons, people like white men from years before, white men who had no idea they might have to be on TV in a couple weeks, like Ari, who was not prepared. So a lot of weird decisions. I know a lot of people like us were hoping that Mike would be chosen for Bachelor instead of Peter. And it's starting to seem like that would have been a really good decision on a TV level as well. But, you know, they make these decisions and you have to feel like at a certain point, maybe they're catering to what they perceive as their audience. I mean, have you guys had experiences, with the Bachelor audience? Like, you were a little bit before social media was a huge part of the Bachelor, like post-Bachelor lifestyle, but have you had experiences with how the whiteness of the audience like shapes the show or the way that the audience interacts with the people on the show?
Opposite for me. Black women of color like to say, why would you go on that show? Why would you do that knowing what they stand for, knowing they don't have, because I didn't even take time off for work because I knew I was going to be there for a day and go home. I just knew it. So to be top 10 caught me way off guard. And at the time, I think I was the first woman of color to make it that far on The Bachelor. But yeah, as far as in, you know, this kind of brings up just everything that's happening now when it comes to ignorance, but most white people, I don't think, see this as happening. It's something that's not, it's not brought up. It's just, oh no, this just, you know, it's TV, it's no big deal. Until someone actually brings it up, no one really notices that unless you're a woman of color or person of color in general.
Right. And absolutely, that's something, you know, we've always tried to make issues of, you know, the overwhelming whiteness and the sexism a core part of this show. But, you know, as two white women, we're certainly grappling with our own role in kind of perpetuating that ecosystem and our own blind spots, just given, you know, the way we move about the world. So we are really grateful for you to kind of come on and bring your perspectives, because I feel like the other thing that happens when you don't have Black women and Black men making it super, super far in the show, then those people, you know, you don't get highlighted in the recaps. You don't get highlighted in interviews as much. And it like perpetuates this entire cycle of like the centering of that white romantic experience. But it is quite interesting because your season, I mean, Sean picked Catherine. I believe it remains the only season of The Bachelor where a non-white woman was picked at the end.
Although bachelors tend to cheat by picking a couple women from their season at different points.
Yeah. And like Peter, you could just pick three white women, you know?
Yeah. He's multiplying it.
Oh my God. But and that's just it. Like you were saying, if ABC has the control and the power to, because they could have easily said, hey, Sean, just put Leslie up there. Just put Robin in the top three. Pick your top two that you know you're going to marry. Make the third one Black so we can push her to be the next Bachelorette. You know, they choose not to do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I know for a fact that they keep, I'll take that back. I don't know for a fact. I'm pretty sure I know for a fact. But they keep certain people on the show for longer, even if they want to get rid of them because of the drama they create.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have more control than they like to cop too. Advanced. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, Leslie, was that something that you talked to production about, like the way that they spoke to Robin? Were they trying to pressure you in any way into making this a theme on the show?
I don't really remember. I definitely remember your scene because you were sitting on the couch, and I just remember that whole scene with you. But no, I don't really remember them trying to push it in that format of like bringing up the race card, the color card. I know my whole thing was like my religion, and that's really big to me. So I know they kept bringing that up because I did have like a Christian thing to give to him, and like they kept saying that over and over because there was nothing really aired but prior to that about religion and Christianity. So I just remember that over and over and over.
So. They like to just put people in a little box.
Well, yeah, if they have their, you know, she's the one that's okay going to talk about religion, if she's the one that's going to talk about the race card, if she's like, they have their little pond.
100% they do.
It's a fascinating window into the process. What about the other women in the house? I mean, you were like part of the most diverse group of contestants since the beginning of the show. I'm not sure since then, but like at that point, there had never been such a diverse season. Was that something that you talked about at all with the other women?
Not on the show.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. Because I didn't even hear about the lawsuit, I think, until afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when everyone kind of started talking about it more.
I definitely wrote it in my journal a lot.
I can't find mine. Leslie.
Oh, really? Yeah. I got my whole, like, bag of Bachelor stuff.
Leslie M. Or not Leslie M. Yeah, your age.
Yeah.
Leslie M. just texted me the other day, and she's like, Rob Dog, you've got to read the stuff I have in my journal. And I'm like, why can't I find mine?
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. That must be a real trip. Leslie, did you discover anything? Anything fun or mortifying that you'd be willing to share?
I mean, I haven't read it in a while, but just like it's trippy because I would always like write down who I thought would go home too.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, this child here, like Tierra or one of the other, I took all my anger and frustrations into my journal, basically.
That seems wise. That's how you avoid looking like a complete asshole on television.
Yeah. Did they give us those journals? Because we all had one.
I don't remember. But yeah. Because I feel like I had devotionals too and stuff, but like they took that stuff away.
Yeah.
The only thing I could keep, I remember, was my journal. And then I snuck photos like throughout my suitcase.
You weren't allowed to have photos?
No, because if you're like, if you're like sad and down, like if you're looking at your iPhone anyways, it's all my stuff. Yeah. And then I wrote letters to myself too. I remember. you're laughing at me. So like when I got in the house, I wrote letters for that. And like, if I went on a one-on-one day and if I got a rose, so those are kind of funny.
Oh, that's so good. I mean, like what other outlet do you have? I would keep a journal too.
None. They want us to be completely focused. And this is why everyone like gets so heartbroken, because it's almost like Sean's like our savior, or the Bachelor is our savior that's getting us out of this house, because there's no, you're only allowed to have a Bible. There's no TV. There's no books. There's no magazine, no radio, no cell phone. There's nothing. And then here comes this man. We're like, thank you. Come take us.
Yeah. Oh my God, the outside world.
Oh my God, it is like Cinderella.
It is. And then the mansion's like fenced in. And then even when you're going on your date, they black out all the windows in the limo. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. I've never heard of that. Yeah. Like, can't even like see the vistas. Like,
we can't see anything outside the window. And then all of a sudden you park and you're at a beach. I'm like, oh my God, Sam.
And that was the first time I was out for 2 weeks. I was just like, people.
Leslie, I want to talk about your princess date. Because that is like a real memory that has stuck with me since first watching it. Just what was that? What was that like?
Honestly, it was very uncomfortable. It's really odd because, I mean, first he shows up in the car. I know I got those diamond earrings, which I still have. They're in a safety deposit box. And every time I want to sell them, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell them. And then I'm like, no, I should just keep them because they're like a small car. Ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Save that for when you really need them.
Yeah,
exactly. But no, like, who wants to go shopping with a first date with a man they just met and, like, trying a bunch of clothes with no music? With, oh, Robin's like me.
I get to keep the clothes and the diamond earrings. That's a mini car. Me.
But it was really awkward and just uncomfortable.
The whole
and just
thing, like, was uncomfortable and awkward. What are you talking about? You got diamond earrings. I fell on my face.
Touche. I always say this all the time. I'm like, well, I didn't fall in love. I never kissed Sean, but I did get diamond earrings. So
time out.
Never even kissed?
No.
Oh my God.
Never kissed him.
The producers like pushed me into kissing him. They never said anything to you?
No.
They told me, they're like, every single girl here has kissed Sean and except for you. He's like,
really?
Yeah. They're like, you don't want to fall behind. And I was just like, oh crap. And that's when I did that stupid chocolate scene where I was like, do you like this chocolate or this chocolate?
Oh, right. Oh my gosh.
No, but then when it aired and I saw everybody making out with him, I was like, well, what the fuck? I made out with him.
Oh my God. That is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh. No, it was a pretty woman date, but then I got dumped. So it was like Cinderella who lost her slipper.
I feel like you actually won though. Like you had to go on a weird date, but then you like got to leave and have diamond earrings. You like got compensated in some for your embarrassment in some capacity.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, she's ungrateful over here. I don't understand. You know what I left with? They're like, here's a granola bar. I'm like, okay.
A granola bar would be good for quarantine. Can't
no.
Turn up
you should have seen the spread they would give us every night for food or for rose ceremony. So when I got kicked off and they gave me that granola bar, I'm like, I'm starving. Like, are you kidding me?
Not good enough.
No, no.
Do you think that if you had gotten a different date, you might have been able to settle into a longer arc on the season?
I don't know. I mean, his thing too is like he saw no romance or no chemistry. So but I'm like, we're like statues right now. I'm like, go to the diamond store. I got like however much money that neck. It was just very weird. So maybe, yeah, I'm always said, I was like, I would have liked like a picnic on the beach because.
Something that felt a little more normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back through the recaps of the season, I was reading some recaps because I don't remember anything. But one thing that I'd forgotten is that Sean loved to like test women by being like, she hates being outdoorsy, so I'm taking her hiking. And I wonder if that was a factor. It's like, I've got to make sure that she's cool in literally the most uncomfortable situation for her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that was tests because that's probably how mine was too. Cause I mean, it's all, you know, put on by the producers too. So they already know so much about us.
Right.
So trying to make it as most uncomfortable as you can be probably.
I want to, for a brief moment, dip a little bit into Tierra because obviously she was a standout character and villain on your season. Like what was your impression of her and like, have you heard anything from her since you filmed?
Why are you talking about my best friend like that? I mean, I still to this day think I got kicked off because of Tierra.
Really?
Yeah, because
you had just had that argument.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge fight. So, I'm like, such a liar.
So this was the rose ceremony cocktail hour, was that when you had the confrontation with Tierra, confrontation, quote unquote, that Sean kind of overheard part of?
Yeah.
So how did that unfold? Like, how did you decide to, or get pulled into that?
I mean, I was 24 years old. I was young and scrappy and ready anyway. So I think I had enough. I don't think this had anything to do with producers. I just confronted Tierra. I'm like, what is your problem? Because it was super strange. It was so strange that all of us girls started thinking that she was planted. We're like, this can't be real.
Wow.
Because
like,
it just
was her behavior like?
Exactly how you saw on TV, like no joke.
Yeah. The only time she got all peppy, it was as soon as Sean
walked in
the house. Otherwise, she would be like, we'd all be like on the couch talking, blah, blah. She'd be by herself. You said good morning to her. She never said good morning. I remember the day that I had my one-on-one, she came to like help me get ready. I'm like, you've never even said good morning or talked. Like, it was just, that was planted.
Yeah.
So, like, we're in a house all together. Like, we're all uncomfortable, but like, we live with each other 24/7. So you think you'd want to say hello or even get to know us.
She didn't want you to steal her sparkle.
Oh, I know. Well, that eyebrow would go up.
Oh, I think that's the thing.
She can't control her eyebrow. She can't control her eyebrow.
I remember the first night Tierra sitting down was like, I bought, I think it was like 12 gowns. And she's like, I bought all these gowns. They're all like $5,000 each and this and that. And I was like, okay, girl, you do me.
I'm just circling through all of the things you could do with $5,000. That's where my brain is going right now.
Buy one of 20 expensive gowns to go on The Bachelor, obviously. That confrontation, the way that it was presented is so bizarre because you and a couple other women kind of walk up to her and are like, you're very rude to us in the house. You don't smile at us or respond to us. And then she just sort of gives an uninterrupted, disjointed monologue for the next like 10 minutes. Is that kind of how that went down? She starts talking about how she's a Scorpio and she'll bite.
I don't remember that. I need to rewatch.
It sounds like healthy not to use brain space on this. Save your memory for other things.
Does she even have Instagram or Facebook or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with her because she tagged me in my post yesterday.
Shut up, I'm about to go look.
Yeah, because I've tagged the whole like thing. I mean, I haven't talked to her, and I don't think I've talked to her on Instagram and all that, but.
I wish she would have went on the season or went on the recap yesterday and said something.
I wish so too, for sure. Because I feel like too, like, you know, like you said, you didn't feel like you acted yourself like on the show just because of everything. And I mean, maybe that just brought out the complete worst in her. So I don't want to like just judge, and maybe she's grown since then. Look at your face.
Come on now.
I don't, because you know,
she went from The Bachelor acting like that, then she went to Women Tell All acting like that.
Yeah.
This is like her, if she was truly not herself, like I would have loved to do an interview with Chris Harrison and be like, okay, listen, this is, you know, but that was her opportunity to be like, I look back and I cannot believe I was acting. I was 26. I was vivacious. I don't know what I was thinking. I was whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was surprised. It seems like you could really only, it could only do good things to speak to it and be like, I was a young idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like she's very private now. I did a very, very superficial amount of digging and it doesn't seem like there's much. Which, you know, nowadays a villain on The Bachelor, that's very monetizable. So you wouldn't see that anymore. It really has changed. Instagram has changed the franchise. How much are you guys in touch with all the other less villainous women from your season?
Well, Leslie was just here like 2 months ago.
Oh. Yes.
For a quick trip. Selma and I literally FaceTime every single day. It's ridiculous. And then I still talk to Leslie, Catherine, and Daniela. That's about it. I talked to Lindsay like 3 weeks ago. She sent some baby stuff.
Oh. Yeah. I talked to Robin, Selma more now. a lot more now. It's kind of interesting. Leslie, Daniela, and then Krista Kaminsky. She's like definitely one of my...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all are so opposite.
Yeah, in some ways, but then also very, have a lot in common in some ways too.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know how we became so close, but definitely throughout the years have been a go-to. I knew she moved to California, so that helped, but I was in Wisconsin a couple months ago and saw her.
Wow.
So, that's nice to hear. I was surprised also that we didn't really see anything from Selma on the recap.
I know.
Yeah.
They didn't really show anything of anybody except for those three. So.
Yeah, they did like the top five or six, I think. And then Sarah Herron were the only people that we got. Yeah. it was, I would have liked to see a more holistic revisiting of the season, but
That's why we're doing this interview.
That's why we're doing this.
Hopefully, you know, it's a little bit counter programming to the kind of boring overview we got yesterday.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you have people that's been quarantined too for so long and they just want fresh, fun content.
Yeah.
Right, like, exactly.
Like Robin said, I would have loved to see bloopers. Oh my gosh, that would have been amazing.
I always say, I think that they should put so many more of the like goofy moments into the season. Because whenever they show the bloopers, I'm like, wait, this is delightful. This shows that people have personalities. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not so self-serious.
We had so much fun in that house. And I'm like, why are, or like even our dates, like the stupid things that went on. I'm like, why are you guys not showing this? Or even like, we're like Leslie just said, we're all quarantined. Like have us all make a little video and everyone can catch up for 10, 15 seconds to see what everyone's doing from the season.
That would have been good because I feel like there was so much of Chris Harrison just talking.
We heard about his son no fewer than five times.
And I don't know if you know, but his son has recently graduated from high school. Just, it's new information I'm bringing up right now.
Just recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting something more like that. It seems like kind of a no-brainer, so I'm a little surprised that they didn't. But
maybe they need new producers. Let's go do this, guys.
So that's actually, I don't know if you've been involved with or seen this campaign for Bachelor Diversity that has been going around, that Brett Vergara and I believe some women who are in his Facebook group started, which is pretty cool. And one of the things that they are explicitly asking for is that ABC and Warner Brothers take like a hard look at the production team and look at the diversity behind the camera, not just in the way that they are casting the people who are in front of the camera. Is that something that like you guys noticed during your season? Like, was the production team very white?
The whole team was white. I don't think there's a single, not even Asian, Hispanic, nothing, right? Yeah, I'll say, I don't think, there wasn't a single one.
That is telling. Yeah.
And you would think too, from like ABC, I mean, there's so much TV that's not reality that has such a diverse. So.
Right. I mean, this is where Shonda Rhimes, this is the network that Shonda Rhimes kind of blew up on. They've made a point of making statements that, you know, indicate that they hold certain values and that anti-racism is something that's important to them. But I think it's like with The Bachelor, you have to look at a certain point, when are words just empty? Like how many times can you ask the question? How many times can Chris Harrison be sent out to like offer platitudes about how they're trying and they know they need to do better, but it's just the way things work out. Like at a certain point, and I feel like maybe now is the moment, given the fact that there has been this, of course, eruption of anti-racist, anti-police brutality protests around the country and around the globe. It sort of opened up space in kind of all aspects and specifically within media to kind of call these inequities out and hopefully really apply pressure. I think like as audience and for us, like as people who, you know, do commentary on the show professionally, like we've got to take on that responsibility and try to push them harder than we have been.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that this, the amount of conversation that we're seeing right now, do you think that there is a chance that it will result in something real? Like, are you getting a sense that anything might be shifting in Bachelor world?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
Same.
Like, I think they might do the same kind of what they did like on our season. All of a sudden there was more diverse in the moment because something just happened.
Right.
I think they'll do that, but then they'll go on to what they normally do. That's just
hard. Yeah. And I feel like that is similar to what we've seen Rachel express in her frustration. Have you seen any of her commentary about sort of being placed in the role to like answer for all of Bachelor Nation racism? I don't know if you
100%. And did you notice even during her season, again, I only watched like a couple episodes, but I don't know if she was handpicked because of this, but her family like I think it was her sister or maybe her, I don't remember, but they all date white men. Yeah. And I almost wonder, like, did they handpick her for that, thinking, oh, well, she can see both sides without really knowing who Rachel was? Because Rachel is a, she's a black woman to the core. Like,
she will tell it like it is.
She's going to tell it like it is. And she has. I mean, she's flat out said, like, I don't even want to be associated with The Bachelor right now because mm-hmm. look what you guys continue to do.
Yeah, and good for her for just going out there and saying it. I mean, I just listened this morning to an episode of the official Bachelor Happy Hour podcast that she and Becca Kufrin do. And they really got into it. And she was really ripping the franchise in a way that felt so warranted on their official channel. And, you know, as you said, it's like we're seeing the discourse change, but does that translate into action? That's like still a big question mark. And there is certainly no track record to like give anyone any sort of confidence.
Right. Leslie, did you get called for Bachelor in Paradise?
I got called for it only because I kept calling my producers. I kept calling Elon. I think it was for the second season. And I was supposed to go on it, the whole thing with Corinne. It was that season.
Okay.
So I had my bags packed, I had all that ready. And so when I got the phone call that, which I thought it was when I was leaving, it was when they were, hey, we're shutting down. Something's going on. Can't really tell you what's going on. But I was like, oh, great.
And then, right, I'm sure.
And I've never heard anything ever since then, but which is totally fine. I'm good.
Robin, did you get contacted for BIP?
I did. I got called the first season. I think they had a whole thing hoping that Markell and I would get together. And then kind of the same thing Leslie said. Actually, one of the contestants called me. She snuck a phone on and she said, Robin, do not come here. And I was like, why? She's like, it's a shit show. They don't know what is going on here. They're flying people out, leaving them in their hotel rooms. They don't know who they're going to use. Do not come. And then I got another text from one of the producers like a couple days later, and they're like, hey, I don't think there's going to be a Robin on Bachelor in Paradise this season. We're going to try again next season. And I was like, all right.
Well, that before too, from contestants.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that's part of the plan. The plan is to not have a plan and to have people ready and see who might what bachelor body they can like throw at the drama, basically, which is a formula for sure. Yeah, I mean, looking back, Leslie, you're glad you didn't go on BIP. How do you guys feel about having gone on The Bachelor? Was it a positive experience at all?
Yeah. Bachelor was one of, like I've said multiple times, one of the best things I've ever done. Like, I had an awesome experience and came out with everything positive for me. Like, friends I met and everything. So, and I just liked being cut off at that moment. I needed that. So, but PIB, whatever you call it, BIP, I'm so glad. I just call it a blessing in disguise, but I do believe everything happens for a reason, and from how it airs and just like what I stand for, no, it is a shit show. There's really nothing, like, no, I can build my brand and my career on my own. I don't need that.
And Leslie, where are you quarantining from?
Los Angeles.
Okay, you're in LA.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to go to Florida because my nephews are in Florida, but my sister won't come yet.
That's tough.
Yes.
And Robin, where are you?
I'm in Houston.
You're in Houston. That's what I thought. Yeah. And you have a new baby.
I do. She's so perfect. I was like, I cannot with you.
Robin, can you tell us a little bit about like what you've been up to since the show and your beautiful child?
Yeah, and then Leslie, I'd love to hear the same from you.
I just want to back up and say this one thing really quick. So you'd ask Leslie.
No.
You don't have to like care about if I cared about the show, but when I had a freaking blast, and I tell everyone, they're like, should I do it? I'm like, listen, if you're 24 years old, go do it. Like, who cares? It's fun. But when I left for the show, I told my parents I was going, left, whatever. And then I don't know what happened, but something in my parents' head decided that I had been kidnapped. And so my dad was like, you need to find our daughter. You call those producers right now, quote unquote producers. So my mom calls the producers and they're like, she's at a rose ceremony. And I was like, okay. So she waited a couple hours and they're like, she's sleeping, waited a couple hours. And then that's when my dad's like, that's it. Call the police. They kidnapped her. This is not real. How do we know? Like completely freaking out. My mom starts calling like the bank, my apartment, my car, like everywhere. I was like, you psychopath. And then his rose ceremony started like freaking 6 p.m. and they go until like 4 a.m.
Right.
And then we're knocked out. And so finally they came in my room at like 7 a.m. They're like, please talk to your mom. Sending the police. But man,
that's an amazing anecdote.
Well, what happened was my bank account had overdrafted because I thought I like planned everything perfectly for being gone for a while. And so that really set my mom off, my parents off.
Wow. Girl. That's incredible. Oh, it's goodness. Funny. I remember Becca Martinez a couple seasons ago was reported as missing by her mom while she was on the show. And, you know, thinking about it, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more because you guys can't contact anyone for anything. Mm-hmm. It's just a perfect like faux kidnapping scenario.
Yeah. And if you're not like close with your family or like really tell them about it, or if they've watched the show, like you're cut off.
Yeah.
Like, my mom and them like took over my bank account stuff, and like my friend had my dog. Yeah.
Did you, when you left the show and you went home, did you talk to people or did you feel weird?
From all their threats?
No, it just in general. Like I remember sitting on my couch very confused.
Oh yeah, no.
Because
yeah.
I hadn't talked
when I
to
called
anyone.
My mom, yeah, because when I got, you know, you get kicked out or whatever, you're in a hotel, or I was in a hotel first before I could get released because you have to see the therapist. And when they gave me my phone, and first two, I thought the TV was massive. I was like, I haven't been TV in forever. And when I called my mom, I was just bawling. Like I couldn't even speak. I was just like, your voice. Like I was just crying for so long.
I
was very awkward.
When I got kicked off, because I had asked to leave. I was like, I'm done. I want to go home. And then Tiara and I got in a fight. So I don't know like if it was a mix of that, but I remember sitting in the limo smiling. And then they started like, you know, throwing out their jabs. Like, how did you feel when your ex-boyfriend broke up with you? How did this? I'm like, okay, listen, I'm not a crier. I'm not going to cry. So what do you want me to do? And I remember they're like, Howard, just put your face in your hands. And so I like put my face in my hands. They're like, now shake your head. And I was just like sitting like that.
Oh my God.
Dilemma. And they're like, I look out the window. And I'm like, but the whole time, I'm like, I can't believe I'm going home. But then you get home. And I remember sitting on my couch and like feeling weird. I hadn't talked to any of my friends in weeks, none of my family. I didn't have a job. Like, it was just freaking weird.
A little depressing because you're like in this bubble for so long and then you like come back to reality. Yeah. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. And then you go outside and they're like, oh my God, you're Robin from The Bachelor. I'm like, wait, who? What's happening?
That sounds so disorienting.
I truly can't imagine.
Yeah.
It's like quarantine, but afterwards you're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the money.
Yeah. But no. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty grim.
Gracious. Yeah.
So. So what happened after that? Catch us up a little bit.
Okay. So after that, Bachelor, let's see. I dated someone. So mad. I was supposed to go to Catherine's wedding, and the guy I was dating was just crazy. And you're in a weird emotional space when you leave The Bachelor. I can't even explain. Like, it's not that I just wasn't confident anymore. So I dated a really bad guy, stopped me from doing anything Bachelor. Cause he pretty much said that it was like the Antichrist and I'd go to hell if I continued to do anything Bachelor related. Weird story. Okay. So missed her wedding, but then the guy I'm married to now, Gary, we had been friends for years, like pre-Bachelor. And he was like, come on, can we date? I'm like, no, like, leave me alone. I don't like you. We'd go out all the time. We'd, you know, hang out. He'd be like, what would you do if I kissed you right now? I was like, I would vomit. Like, gross. Like, I was so mean to Gary. And then finally, he's like, come on, let's go on a date. I'm like, fine, you want a date? Let's date. Whatever. Like, let's get this over with. 6 months later, we're engaged. And 6 months of that, we're married. And then 2 years after that, I have a child for 3 years.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. And he's the best. Like, he's not real. He's honestly not really. He's just so nice. I'm like, you make me look like such a jerk because he's just everyone's favorite.
I have the same problem, but it's not really a problem. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So other than that, it's been very quiet and very boring around here. We own a gym, so Corona's been sucky for that, obviously.
Yep.
So boring over here. Leslie's life's probably more fun.
Yeah, Leslie, catch us up.
Oh gosh. What have I not done? This question. I mean, I'm still in entertainment. I've been in entertainment since I was like 15. So still been doing TV and film commercials. Got a co-star role on The Rookie, which is also on ABC this year. So I got two roles on that that reoccurred. So I'm praying that she comes back next season because I got picked up season 3. I'm an officer on it. So yeah. Oh, I travel for Hyundai, the car. So I travel for them around the country to like major cities and host a game show within their auto display.
Wait, that's kind of awesome. That sounds fun.
Really awesome. Have you ever watched Cash Cab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. It's called Hyundai Swag, but the format is around Cash Cab. So it's kind of cool.
That's truly amazing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So you guys are keeping busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's miss great. Traveling. We used to travel a lot. I think we were gone on vacation like almost every other month. We went somewhere big.
I feel like you were too.
It was so much fun. And then we halted.
Oh man. I'm so excited to be able to travel again. Oh, one day. Before we kind of wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you or if there's any projects you want to promote? Now's the time.
I would say hopefully The Rookie next season. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to come, hopefully. Otherwise, you can see the past ones on that or check out like on IMDb. Otherwise, my Instagram, which is LeslieAHughes25. So I'm going to grow that and grow my brand from that and just hopefully do better in this world.
Yes, Leslie. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not famous like Leslie. You will not see me anywhere on TV unless there's another Bachelor recap. But you can find me on some podcasts. Other than that, my Instagram is Robin R. Jedkins. It's like Jenkins with a D. Man, I miss Howard. Oh, so much easier. Y'all, our honeymoon, I put everything under Howard. They kept calling him Mr. Howard, and he was like, seriously? I was like, I'm just not ready.
It's easier.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it.
So this was truly, truly so fun.
It really was. Thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your day.
Yeah,
of
we really course. Appreciate it.
You guys.
Anytime. Y'all were fun. Y'all make me want to start a fake podcast, probably for a day and I'll get over it. But.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Leslie Hughes and Robin Jedkins, and to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod, and follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap the next episode of The Bachelor, the greatest season ever, plus more bonus episodes that you won't want to miss.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.